Hey everybody, Jim Edwards here, and welcome back to the Sales Copywriting and Content Marketing Hacks Podcast. This is episode 111. That's 111. We are going to have to skip episode 666 because I just don't want the pressure. But we're not there yet, and it'll probably take us another 5 years. Today, we are in episode 111 with my trusty podcast producer and partner, Mr. Stu Smith. Welcome, Stu.
Thank you, Jim.
What are we talking about today, Stu? I know, and I hate to ask, but what are we talking about?
It's a good one. You know, haters are going to hate. You know, and how do you deal with negative comments, whether they are personally sent to you via email or phone calls, messages, whatever, or they're public, you know? And remember, most haters, this is something I like to remember. Most haters, you know, are hating comments come from people who are doing less than you are now. However, they're also your customers. So there's a yin and yang.
Sometimes they're your customers. Sometimes they're not.
Yes. So anyway, the goal is to stay the high ground, but at the same time, don't get pushed around. So how's that for floating the middle of the fence?
That's like the whole podcast right there. You did the summary up front. So let's break that down. Let's use a whole bunch of these turns of phrases. I'm going to try and use as many turns of phrase as I can in a single sentence. Ready?
Okay.
You know, Stu, at the end of the day, let's unpack what you've laid out, let's unpack how you've set the table for us with what we're talking about here. That was three good ones. I could get more.
And to piggyback on what you just said.
That's good. I think you gotta, you said, okay, are they really my customer? Are they just some keyboard commando on Facebook? So I think the number one thing is you got to consider the source. You also got to consider the context, and you got to consider where it's coming from. Now, if somebody, so let me give you two extremes because you know I'm all about the extremes. Okay. On one end, somebody's been a customer for a long time and they spend $10,000 with you and they send you an email and they say, you know, this absolutely sucks and I want my money back. That's like legit hate. I'm sorry. That's
well, I wouldn't say hate. That one hurts.
That's not hate. That hurts. Right.
Yeah.
You need to do some soul introspection. Okay. Number two, you run an ad on Facebook, all right, and manage to stay out of Facebook jail and not get your account shut down. And somebody from a profile with no pictures, no graphics, and the name of like Butthurt Smith, is Butthurt Smith. And they say the very first comment is like your first view. And all you're doing is talking about something that's really, really benign. And they say, this is a scam. None of this works. This guy's a liar. I hate him. Okay. Should you even give that one brain cell's worth of attention? And the answer to that is absolutely not. So what we're talking about here is the stuff in the middle. Is in the middle. There's different degrees of hating and different degrees of paying attention. All of which are pretty low. So define for me, Stu, in your definition, what is a hater? What's a hater? What's a hater for you? What kind of hating do you get done on you? Probably not much.
I don't get a whole lot, but when I do, especially if it's in public, like your one example there, like it's a public domain, pages that other people can read, I just delete it. I don't have time for it, and I just delete it and it's gone. Right. And if he comes back, I delete it again. It's gone.
You're talking about on social media or on email? Right,
yeah. I'm talking about social media.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So when it's a public forum, right.
Okay.
And they're saying just boop, delete it. It's gone. Right. Every now and then I may address it if I know the guy or gal, that had an issue with something, but
yeah.
And then I direct them. I say, well, here's the answer. there's your solution to your problem. If it's like I said, in a public forum. However, just last week I got one.
Here's the solution to your problem.
Just last week I got one, and it was after I had sent a newsletter out to my list.
Yeah.
And you know, it was basically just take me off your newsletter. I don't know why I'm on here. You know, I bought one of your books a couple of years ago. I asked you a question and you could not care less and did not even respond.
Ooh.
Right. And I thought it was just an email to me. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Well, first of all, you're off the email list. Second of all, you know, I get hundreds of emails a day. And if I missed your email, I really apologize. Right. And just said, I answer all my emails if, you know, I thought. And so anyway, I apologize. So left it at that. I actually got a response back just saying, well, wow, I didn't expect you to respond.
Yeah,
that's what most people, you know, I was surprised that most people do. And at the end, it was like, I understand that, you know, sometimes days get, you know, email glitches or whatever. But anyway, so it was, I felt better making a response to that one versus just deleting it.
So you didn't call him a key. And then you go back and say, and by the way, you're a keyboard commando. And why don't you grow a pair and stop being a little.
Now, I will say this. When I'm doing Facebook Lives or YouTube Lives, and yeah. I keep getting this annoying comment, that one fires me up. And sometimes I will just lay into it. I said, you know, I'm always here at 6 a.m. Monday through Friday. You have something you need to talk to me in person about, right? And so I gotta lay it out like here's what I'm, you know, here's where I am,
here's my address. You're saying?
I just tell them where I am at 6 a.m. on, you know, I do these workouts and everybody knows where I am at 6 a.m. but yeah. Anyway, it's just one of those things that, you know, sometimes you just have to shut them down, and then I, you know, do not allow them to make any more comments on my live because it is really distracting.
Yeah.
You know, when you're doing a live and you got a thing in your head going down and you get that beeping comment that you just have to keep flashing over. And then I see this inner battle going on in between the comments, and that's distracting, you know? So 9 times out of 10, the people that know you and follow you pretty regularly will start chiming in to that guy. And, you know, they'll say stuff like, this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah. You know? And that's like the perfect way. One of the perfect ways to handle it is when someone attacks you or does something that's just totally out in left field. And if it's got the potential for damage, you know, if you can't delete it, like over on Amazon, if somebody, I've had this happen to me before, somebody just makes a comment it might be a verified purchase. It might not be a verified purchase. And it's just out of left field. You know, like for my Copywriting Secrets book, it's like 4.7 stars. And, you know, there's 3 chuckleheads in there who've left weird comments and stuff. But it's tough when the top comment, when they're looking at it chronologically, is like, oh, this is all written by people that this is bullshit. And so what you do is you go out to your fans and you say, hey, what do y'all think of this? Does this person have a valid point? Would you go over here and share your thoughts? That is like code for go hammer this son of a. Okay. But that's like nice people code for, I'm not sure I feel about this. Maybe you want to chime in with some comments over here on this thread. Just let everybody know what you think about this one comment, or just in general, just curious about your thoughts, you know, and they just destroy them.
Yeah.
They just destroy them. And it's different when other people do it for you as opposed to you doing it. It's very hard to emerge from a fight with clean hands in a mudslinging match. You can't do it. You win. Even if you win, you still have dirty hands and mud and stuff all over you.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. That's why they don't let me anywhere near the help desk. Now, I used to have this whole gambit that I used that was just awesome, man. So we don't do this too much now, but this was when we first started really the business taking off. It was me, Susan, and Terry, and Courtney, my daughter, worked for us too, and Nancy worked for us for a time too. But it was initially it was Courtney handling the help desk, and then Susan was handling it, and it was just it was all family members. So when you get one of these keyboard commandos who just is nasty to somebody, and you know they try and handle it and they're still nasty, so then I would chime in and I would say, hey, you know, this is Jim. This has been brought to my attention, and we're going to go ahead and do whatever. And I said, by the way, the person that you're speaking to this way is my, you know, whoever it was. It's my wife, is my niece, is my daughter. And I really don't appreciate, and I know exactly how they're going to respond. You see this coming and you're just you're ready. Okay. I don't appreciate you talking to them that way. Well, 99 times out of 100, they respond back and say, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that was your wife, your daughter, your niece. At which point I go, boom. It shouldn't matter whether it's my wife or my daughter or my niece. And because of that, because of your rudeness, you have just earned a kick ban. You are no longer allowed to receive anything from us. We are blacklisting your email. You are never going, we're blacklisting your IP. You will never be able to have the privilege of receiving stuff. I mean, I let them have it, because anybody who will treat somebody that way is an asshat, and you do not need them in your business. Now, that's, some people might think that's a little extreme. I sleep great at night. And I don't have these situations where I'm like, you hear the typing going on, and you know the response is like, I can't do it. And then you go out and you kind of walk around and you, I can't, you know, and that, not, I don't do it. I won't do it. I handle it. And you got it. It's like, if they're like a cancer, you got to cut it off. Now, what's the one thing that Stu and I have not done in any of this? You don't take it personally. There is nothing somebody I don't know can say to me that is going to make me take it personally now. Now, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, yes, I would take stuff personally. I would internalize it. But then I realized, man, they don't know me. They don't know my intentions. They don't know my heart. They don't know. And it's usually when people attack you and do the serious hating, or I love the passive aggressive stuff where it's like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm really disappointed in you. I was just really disappointed because I thought you were a better person than this. I thought, and I'm like, okay, come on, come on. You can do better than this. There's a difference between feedback and hating. All right. And feedback, you can tell the difference between hating and feedback. And like I said, sometimes they try and masquerade hating as feedback with the passive aggressive approach. Like they're your kindergarten teacher and they're upset because you took half of Mary's graham cracker and made her cry. And I thought your parents raised you better than that. It's still hate.
Yeah. So here's another one, Jim. You get this long, you know, almost a full page complaint about what's going on. And it's a bunch of nothing, you know, rehash same issue.
Same sentence, five different ways.
Right. And then what I do with that response is say, no problem, refund it. And then they're blocked. Their IP address is blocked from my website.
Yep, there you go. Because they want an argument. They want they feed on the conflict. It's some way it just feeds them, and so you don't give them what they want. And the biggest thing you can do, what Stu just did there, As soon as you have refunded them, if they've actually bought, as soon as you refunded them, they have no power over you. That it's over. It's the wind is completely out of their sails. I gave your money back. Have a great day. No problem. It's you can keep it. I don't care. You don't have to send it. I mean, in fact, I don't want you to send it. Oh, this is terrible. I shouldn't be telling you guys this, but you tell somebody. In fact, I don't want you to send it back because I have no idea what you might have done with it or to it. So I can't take the chance on getting it back from you. I mean, you tell somebody that who's a psycho and they go ballistic. What do you mean? What are you insinuating? I don't know. You might have dirty hands, sticky hands. I don't know what you've been doing. I don't want anything to do with it. Just keep it. I don't want to have to burn it.
Keep it. Give it as a gift.
Give it to someone else. Give it to someone else who might be able to benefit from it. I just don't even, it's like, have a great day. And then you just never respond. That's the other thing is make sure you get the last word. And the way you mentally get the last word is to block them. So that even if they're replying back every day for the next 10 years, you're never going to see it. Because if you get caught up in the, I got to have the last word thing. I mean, I learned with the last 29 years with this one over here, I'm never going to get the last word in. It's not even worth trying. It just keeps the whole thing going. It's ripping the Band-Aid off. It's like, oop, boom. And that's another thing dealing with haters, though, is literally that whole cutting it off, the decision, the just done. And you also got to empower your people. This is important, too. I know, Stu, you don't. Do you have any staff? Do you have people that work for you? Or are you?
I have outsourced companies that do.
Okay.
I don't have any individual. Yeah.
You need to empower your people, especially your customer service people, to be able to be somewhat assertive. You have to take care of customers, but nobody deserves abuse. And no. I will not let someone suffer abuse. So we give them, you know, that gambit I gave you of, you know, I take over and then I give it that. We tell, you know, this is what you say. This is how to handle it. This is how you do it. And then if they're obstreperous, hey, there's a $2 word. If they're obstreperous or abusive, then you refund them and tell them to have a great day. You don't have to ask me. All right. They still do most of the time, but you know, hey, is it okay to refund? If they're past the refund period, that's the other thing. If they're past the refund period and it's like, okay, let me see. This bonehead bought 3 months ago, never bought anything since, and they got 5 tickets in the help desk, and now they're being a total jerk. Is it worth me dealing with this, or is my time worth more just to refund them and take away their access to us? And the answer is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
In fact, we had a situation one time, this is no lie, where somebody was complaining to us about a product they had bought, didn't buy it through us as an affiliate. It wasn't our product. They kept saying, I bought it from you. 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 I'm like, you didn't buy it from us. You did not buy this from. I mean, I knew the person whose product it was. It wasn't a bad product. And it was like $400. And we kept dealing with this. Now, when I say this, if I see any of you people showing up in my help desk trying to do this, it ain't going to work. Okay. So don't do it. All right. But I ended up PayPaling this person $400 so they would go away.
Damn.
And stop annoying me with this stuff. And they were, you know, this was like at the beginning of social media and other things like that. And they were like, I needed it to go away. You know what I mean? And so it went away. But that's an extreme case. But we get rid of them.
Well, I will say this, Jim. When I thought about Haters Are Gonna Hate podcast,
this is not the discussion you envisioned.
No, it is. But I also realize that I am very lucky that I don't have a lot of them. You know, I don't have to do what I just said daily. I mean, it's every other month or so, maybe.
Right.
You know, I would say, you know, even less than 1 out of 100. you know.
Yeah,
I mean, mine less than 1%. However, I did a project with this other fitness guy. I thought he was a fitness guy, but really, no offense, he was a guy that was really good at sales copy and had nothing to do with fitness. But he didn't know anything about fitness, and he was putting on these workouts, and is like, it was all sales copy.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, if you're not getting 25, 30% people asking for refunds, you're not trying hard enough. I'm like, what the hell kind of business are you doing? So I just left. I was like, we had a whole video schedule planned and everything. I said, yeah, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
I'm done. But anyway, so there are people out there that, you know, most of their businesses do that to you.
I've heard that in direct response marketing before. I understand the mindset behind it, but that's not smart. You're losing a lot of money, because if you think about it, that's not a sales problem. A 20 to 30% refund rate is not a sales problem. It's a fulfillment problem. So if you can write great sales copy like that, then why not up your delivery game? Why not up your product game to match the copy that you're capable of writing? I've never understood that. I've heard it, but I'm like, well, if you're not trying hard enough, why don't you try really hard on the sales copy and then try even harder on the delivery? So people are like, holy crap, it sounded almost incredible in the sales copy. And when I got it, they over-delivered. That's how you get customers for life. I've never understood that. However, there is what we will call, and we call it internally, the 5% head factor. No matter what you do, 5% of the people out there are head. Okay. There's nothing you can do about it. And during times of economic strife, pandemics, around Christmas holidays, they show themselves. So if you are out there fully engaged in marketing and working it, up to 5% is going to ask for a refund. And I'm fine with that, especially when you first launch something where you get the serial grabbers and other stuff. And the people that just, they're always changing their email address and using different initials and other stuff. So you try and spot them before the stuff gets sent out, but they just, you know, they're using prepaid credit cards and other stuff so that you can't identify them. But, you know, that anything over 5%, you need to look inward, not outward. It's your fault. So
I would agree.
You know, but the thing is, yes, let's say it's 1%, less than 1%. For when you've been in business and doing it for a long time, it's easy to blow it off. But I remember when I was first getting started, when I had taken that plunge and I wasn't even full time. I mean, I still had a job. And I was trying to get this stuff to work. And I was going to send an email. I was getting ready to send a broadcast. And I was literally almost ready to throw up because I was scared that someone was going to yell at me for sending this email. That someone was going to get mad was because they were on my list and I was sending them an email telling them about something else I had to sell them. And I remember exactly what it was. It was, I had my list of all the people that had bought my For Sale by Owner book or had signed up for a free chapter. I was releasing my Tender Little Secrets of Mortgage Financing program. And I was sending an email out to that list. Hey, you know, I came out with another product. It's about how to get a loan. You might want it. And I sat there for like 20 minutes debating sending the email, cause I was so worried about how some one person might react negatively. And now it's like, you know,
there you go.
You don't like it, hit delete. And it's not that bad. I mean, but it just not freaking out about stuff. So thank you, Gordon. Gordon says, crap, I'm the opposite. I can't wait to see what you have next. Lifetime customer, all caps. That's awesome. Gordon's like one of the people I've met through Facebook that I've never like been around personally, but I feel like I know and have actually a friendship with. Like if we ever are in the same place, it'd be like, "What's up, dude?" We'd hug and like go do stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of like you.
We have to go to Vegas.
Exactly. We have to go to Vegas. But it's kind of like you. You and I have been doing this for years now, hanging out and doing business and stuff for years, and we've only ever met once.
That is true.
In real life. It's kind of weird, but I feel like I see you every week, which I do. So there you go. So, you know, any final thoughts on dealing with the haters?
Nope. The biggest thing is they're going to happen. And number one, you can't take it personal. And number two, deal with it with as least energy as you can. But sometimes it takes some growing pains. Right. I think you and I came to this answer to this problem because we've wasted a lot of time arguing, and especially remember back before social media when it was forums. Oh, yeah. My God. That wasn't a crap show. I don't
Grab
know.
Ass.
Oh, man. It was just a mess. Forums were just a mess. I remember. And then I would put some, you know, fitness forums, and there'd be all the stupid debate and, you know, stuff that made no sense, and people getting arguing about who's tougher, SEALs or Rangers. And everybody gets mad and is like, come on, man, you guys are wasting complete time.
Exactly.
And it was a waste. And then, you know, you get your stomach all upset and you type in like,
yeah.
So anyway, I come to you with this suggestions. Answer and of dealing with haters, because I've gone through all the different emotions with dealing with them, and so learn from those experiences.
Absolutely. I need a noise on here that represents just like angry typing or something. I think that'd be funny. That ain't it. Okay, cool. Well, we appreciate it. Vani says, haters will keep doing their work. We'll keep doing our work, providing value, making a difference, and making an impact on this world. Well said, Bonnie. We will give,
I like it.
We'll give her the last word. Now, we're going to give Bob the last word. He says, I guess Jim will never be a therapist. That is absolutely true. Jim will never be a therapist, and that's probably a good thing for everybody on the face of the planet. So, that's it. Great job, Stu. Well done. Well done, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And as always, head on over to jimandstushow.com and you can check out the recording of this, as well as download the amazing bonus that we provide for you there. Appreciate everybody joining us, and we will see you next week. And Stu, we're going to end with a polka.
Nice.
And obviously I am bored.
You got
everybody baby. Have a great day. Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda. Nice.